The epistle for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the first chapter. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you unto the end without crying, in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemeth." And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Which then is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house. And the multitude seeing it feared, and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Then he said to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One day, my dear friends, a young rabbit was hopping along beside a river. He soon noticed an enormous crocodile lying on the bank, half in and half out of the water. The crocodile was weeping profusely. So the rabbit asked him, "Why are you crying? Have you been injured?" The crocodile moaned, "I am crying over all the wrongs I have done. Only an hour ago, a young deer came to the riverbank and asked me to carry him across. He never reached the other side. My weakness got the best of me, and I ate him, antlers and all." The crocodile continued, "Another time I ate a young lion. Before that, I ate a rabbit instead of carrying him across the river. Oh, I am so sorry and ashamed of myself. What can I do?" The rabbit, though very young, was wise. So keeping his distance from the crocodile, he said very firmly, "The best thing you can do is stop weeping, and then stop doing the wicked things you have done." "If you stop crying," the rabbit continued, "you can see more clearly how to avoid falling into the same fault." And finally, the rabbit declared, "Tears without sorrow mean nothing. So prove you are sorry by not doing it again." Now, in today's gospel, my dear friends, we see our Lord in a house, preaching to a multitude of people. The crowd is so great that there is not enough room for everyone inside. So the throng spills out into the street. While our Lord is speaking, a small group arrives, carrying a stretcher with a very ill man. Despite their pleas, no one allows them into the house. So in a very creative moment, the small group hastens up the outdoor staircase of the house to the roof. Now you see, at that time, houses in Palestine were built with outdoor stairs that led to flat roofs where the inhabitants could walk about or work especially in the cool evenings. Thus, the small group with the sick man is able to climb up to the roof, remove part of it, and let down their stretcher at the very feet of our Lord. Now our Savior sees that the sick man believes in him, so he heals the diseases of the man's soul with the simple words, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." But our Lord sees that some of those men standing nearby do not believe in him. They do not believe that our Lord can forgive sins. And so, seeing their thoughts, our Lord asks them, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or 'Arise and walk'? But to prove that I have the power to forgive sins," he says to the sick man, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." Then the man rises from the stretcher, picks it up, and walks home, perfectly cured. You see, by this miracle, Jesus Christ proved that he can forgive sins. He expressly used this cure of the sick man to demonstrate that he had, in fact, already forgiven the man's sins. But what did he tell the man to do after forgiving those sins? He told him to arise and go into his house. And likewise, he wants us to arise after he has forgiven our sins. And we do this by leaving our sins behind after confession. This is what Christ wants us to do, to walk away from sin and never look back. How are we to do this? Practically speaking, what does it mean to arise and walk away from sin? Well, it means to have true contrition for our sins, to be truly sorry, and thus to make a firm resolution of sinning no more. For you see, contrition is a hatred of sin, and a true grief of the soul for having offended God, with a firm purpose of sinning no more. So we might ask, what is a firm purpose? Now, this firm purpose, sometimes called the purpose of amendment, is a resolution not to sin again. In other words, it is a determination to avoid all future sin, to do whatever we must to avoid falling back into sin. Of course, this resolution is not a mere feeling, nor is it necessarily lacking in someone who fears that he will fall again. If one might be going to confession and were to think, "But I'm going to fall again. I'm going to fall into such and such a sin again," such a person can still form a firm resolution by making up his mind to do everything he can rather than willingly sin. My dear friends, as you know, if one intends to sin again, he's not truly sorry. For example, if a little boy were to tell his sister, "I'm sorry I hit you," but intended to hit her again when no one was looking, that boy is obviously not really sorry. Likewise, if we go to confession but do not intend to give up a habit of sin or to avoid the occasions of sin, we are like the crocodile in the story. We might weep for our sins, but it is far better to prove we are sorry by taking steps not to fall again. Remember, my dear friends, as a certain priest once wrote, "Your worst enemy cannot begin to hurt you as much as sin. Sin can cast you, body and soul, into hell and forever. Sin wants only one thing, and that is your soul. Sin means only one thing, and that is to keep your soul wretched in this life and to prevent it from ever being happy with God in the next. So how can we avoid sin? Well, one way to do this is to foster in ourselves a hatred of sin. And we can do this by thinking for a few moments about the suffering that sin caused our divine Redeemer. So when you stand in line for confession, spend the time thinking about the passion of our Lord. For example, picture to yourself the cruel scourging Jesus Christ received to atone for our sins. Such thoughts will naturally make you hate sin, because sin hurts such a good God. And then, with this hatred of sin established in your heart, you will more easily decide to break any habits of sin you may have. So look into your own life and find that person or thing that makes you fall most frequently into sin, and resolve to remove that person or thing from your life as far as possible. For example, if one has the habit of using bad language, he should choose some short prayer to say to himself whenever he's tempted to use those bad words. He could say instead, "My Jesus, mercy," or "Holy Mary, pray for me." The point of all this is that when we go to confession, we must sincerely and seriously make up our minds to hate sin and avoid it by replacing its occasions in our lives. So let us then, my dear friends, as our Lord tells us in today's gospel, arise from our sins by making the firm resolution to walk away from them. Remember, sin is essentially the turning away from the only one who can make us truly happy, the good God who made us, and turning toward something else. So instead of shedding fruitless crocodile tears over your sins, foster a true hatred of sin and strive to replace the occasions of sin with something less dangerous, because sin is your worst enemy and wants only one thing, and that is your soul. So firmly resolve to avoid sin in the future. And then we will all be able to obey Christ's words, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house," as we all walk away from sin and towards our heavenly home. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.